And it's going to be controversial in two ways. One, it's going to be controversial in film studies because it looks at ideology as a positive benefit in a Hollywood movie. Most film scholars who are studying the ideology of Hollywood movies are criticizing Hollywood movies by means of the ideological properties of those movies, because they are the dominant ideology, they're the oppressive ideology. And that may be true, but Hollywood doesn't adopt those ideologies in order to convey, violence or because it is interested in dominating politics. It does it because it's a convenient way to provide aesthetic pleasure. So in one sense, you could say instead of looking at Hollywood as an instrument of ideology, the book looks at ideology as an instrument of Hollywood's effort to give aesthetic pleasure to mass audiences. So that's one area in which that the book is going to be controversial within my discipline. The other reason that area is interesting and controversial is that we don't normally think of ideology as an aesthetic property of an artwork. Usually we think of an ideology as something detachable from the artwork, what the artwork is about, what its message is, what its meaning is, what its underlying beliefs are. But in my book, I hopefully show that ideology, when it's intimately tied to the design properties of a movie, when it's part of how a movie is performed and written and acted and cut and shot, and what genre properties it adopts. When ideology is intimately tied in that way, it becomes part of the work's aesthetic framework and can deliver pleasure. So a movie, for instance, like Die Hard, which has an ideology that is common in most action genres, which is that violence and avoiding due process concerns is an effective way to solve life's most urgent problems. So violence becomes the most convenient, most expeditious, most moral solution to whatever problem your action hero is trying to deal with at the moment. And that, you could say, is a pernicious ideology. It's kind of a gun-toting, violent ideology. But it also enables exciting action scenes. If that's the ideology of the movie, you're going to get a lot of scenes in that movie where your hero, working against overwhelming odds, is going to overcome obstacles by shooting people and engaging in fistfights and blowing things up, as our protagonist does in Die Hard.
Is there no moral responsibility then for a Hollywood film? As long as pleasure is provided, that's the aim and that's all that matters. Does this even matter for your book? Does this even matter to you? In other words, it's a successful film if it's using any ideology successfully to give pleasure,
whether it's about using violence, all kinds of oppressive type. I believe there are all kinds of oppressive ideologies that have been successfully used in films, mm-hmm. right?
I mean, let's just say women, mm-hmm. People of color, or immigrants. Is there any morality in there? Like, is there any kind of like, okay, well, this is bad, even if it's successfully using an ideology?
Right. Yeah. So take, for example, the Die Hard example. So in Die Hard, the Constitution is just a document that interferes with effective law enforcement. And when we watch Die Hard, as long as we're engaged by the movie and we're with the movie, we're not against it, we probably are looking at the Constitution that way, as we would in most police detective movies. And, I'm an ACLU member. That's certainly not my ideology. But in the spirit of aesthetic specialization, I think we can set those concerns aside sometimes. And the book does. It doesn't make moral judgments. It makes aesthetic judgments. Now, that said, I think moral judgments are entirely appropriate when it comes to discussing Hollywood. The book doesn't make them. The book's job is to figure out how Hollywood is doing this one thing, which is, in my estimation, its primary goal, which is to give aesthetic pleasure to mass audiences. That said, I think my own, you asked about me personally, I think my own thinking on this has changed quite a bit. I think when I was in graduate school, I would have said, no, you can't take moral judgments to artworks. Would we be celebrating Carmen if we were anti-prostitution or what have you? This is, art doesn't apologize. I think since having kids, I have a little more concern about those issues. I remember showing my older son, Jesse, two movies in 1 week. When he turned 16, I told him he could watch R-rated movies. And he wanted to watch Goodfellas and he wanted to watch Pulp Fiction. So, you know, one of the benefits of being a film scholar at a UNCW is you do get access to movie theaters. And so I took him into, you know, the movie theater at UNCW and I showed him Goodfellas one day. And then we came back a few days later and I showed him Pulp Fiction, neither of which I had seen in several years, both from the 90s. And I came out thinking, wow, Goodfellas is a moral movie and Pulp Fiction is an immoral movie. And because I was watching it through his eyes and I was thinking, Pulp Fiction doesn't respect death. It makes fun of it. And Goodfellas respects death. It understands that death is final and tragic and sad and serious. Whereas Pulp Fiction takes a very flippant attitude toward death. And that to me was a concern because I was watching the movie with my son and thinking about what was going into his brain at the time. I do think those things matter. But I don't necessarily think that all film scholarship needs to engage with those issues.
It's so interesting. I mean, your ability to appreciate Pulp Fiction was ruined by the presence of your son.
It wasn't ruined. It was lessened. And that, I think, is real. And I also think that moral judgments do factor into people's aesthetic judgments. So a movie like Triumph of the Will, a brilliant documentary by Leni Riefenstahl that celebrates the Nazis. There's no way to watch that movie without a kind of fear and concern and seeing what's coming, since the movie was made before, you know, we knew about the Holocaust. And that understanding of the movie and our prescient, you know, our knowledge about what the Nazis are and were can't help but damage one's aesthetic response. And so, but I take a somewhat moderate position. I think it can affect it, but it doesn't have to ruin it. Mm-hmm.